The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome back to The Empowered Homeowner. I am Beth Allen, your host, DIY expert, educator, and contractor. And today is an honor to sit down with a woman who is a local treasure. She's a consumer advocate, a leader in women's empowerment, a 14-time Emmy Award-winning journalist, and a friend. So I want you to say hello to Tracy Davidson, a news anchor from NBC 10 in Philadelphia.
Tracy. Hi, I'm so happy to be with you. Congratulations on your 10th episode. Congratulations on all of your success. We were just talking about our when we met, which was years and years and years ago.
Yes.
And you have been helping people, specifically women, for so many years. So thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I know we both share a passion for service.
We do.
Of being of service to people. And I know that that really moves both of us. And advocacy and education.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I had to have you come in as a guest. So a few other things about Tracy. She's a Temple grad, and I'm a Temple mom. So
nice.
That's fun. She's also a breast cancer survivor and an advocate, a theologian, and one thing that is really unique is that she used to have a dog with special needs.
You remember that?
I remember that. And her dog had a condition called megaesophagus. And my two sons, for their bar mitzvah service projects, built Bailey chairs for those dogs. And I know your dog also used a Bailey chair.
Right. Megaesophagus. And we discovered it because nothing was staying in his stomach. His name was Charlie. And they have to eat on their back hind legs with their arms in the air. And the Bailey chair actually helps them get in that position. Now, it takes a while to get used to getting them in there and them sitting there so that the food can go down. But for people who have dogs with megaesophagus, the Bailey chair is a game changer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I watched both of my sons build these. Well, of course, I helped, you know, as a DIY mom. But it was fun to see them help these two little dogs on their way to thriving again.
Yeah.
So, Tracy, I would love to talk a little bit about the consumer advocacy that you have brought to the Philadelphia area for so many years. I know you have seen a lot of consumers write in about being taken advantage of. And can you tell us why you became such a fierce advocate? And what is some advice you would have for homeowners that are facing a challenging service provider?
Wow, that's a lot. Well, first of all, I think that usually we get into trouble, we fall for scams when we haven't sort of pressed pause and say, wait a minute, did I reach out to this person or did this person come knocking on my door? Right? Do I have a contract? Do I fully understand everything that they're going to do for me? And if the answer is no to any of that, or do they have a contractor's license? Check the state, right? All of this. And if you don't know the answer to even one of those questions, you have to say stop. Leave me the paperwork and I'll call you back. Because I think that's where most of us get into trouble is when we're not thinking. And look, some legit, but mostly not legit or downright scams happen because there's pressure. If you sign it now, we can, you know, we're in your neighborhood doing your roof. If you sign it now, we can give you this 40% discount. Oh, next week, no, that discount's not going to be available. As soon as you hear that high pressure, you need to press pause and say, thanks so much. I'll look at it, you know, at another time.
Right. If you can't offer me that deal in 24 hours, then I don't want to work with you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And and what drives my advocacy is it's information. I've had so many people say, well, I was dumb or I just can't believe I did that. Well, you weren't dumb. And it's understandable because the people who scam, that's all they do. That's their job. Think about how good you are at your job. That's how good they are at their job. And so with information that I can share, you can share, you know, that people get, then it rings a bell. If they hear something, they say, wait, didn't I hear? No, wait, that's not supposed to happen that way, right? And it's just about information. So the more information we can get out there, whether it's a project in their home, whether it's a mortgage. I did a lot of those before the collapse, talking to people, and they got themselves into a mortgage that they just couldn't or shouldn't have been in. No matter what it is, hold up and ask the questions.
Yeah, and I think that's what so many people are lacking is that pause, is that they jump into things without stepping back. You need to research things that require either a significant time or money investment before you jump in. And to me, again, that's why I educate people. I want homeowners to pause. There was a story of a woman on a Facebook page recently who paid $1,400 for a garbage disposer to be replaced. It broke my heart because it shouldn't have been more than about $400 for this project. But she didn't know. And often we get burned because we don't know what we don't know. And if we don't pause, we have our phones in our hands. We can look up anything in a moment. You know, what's a ballpark price for a roof on a rancher?
Yeah.
And in my county. And you start to have information gathered. And that's why we have to use these tools of information.
Not only to prevent it, but then after the fact, on NBC 10 Responds, all I do all day long is help consumers. They call our consumer hotline or they go on our website and they put in their complaint. And my first question is, did you have a contract with this person who did your driveway? Oh, well, no, they came by and they said that they'd do it. And I paid them up front and they never showed up. Well, I can't help you because you have to have things in writing. Have to have things in writing all the time. So that could prevent it in the first place. Because if you say, I'm not going to hire anyone unless I have a contract in writing that has a start and finish date and a third in terms of deposits, if somebody walks away from that, again, you didn't want to do business with them.
Right. Exactly. A bad actor isn't going to follow through on
that. That's right.
So if you press back, they're going to walk because they're not going to play the game with you because you're not a willing participant.
That's right.
So it's just being your own advocate. And as a nurse, I teach people the same thing. You know, we need to advocate for ourselves and ask more questions. I'm all about why. Ask the deeper question of, well, why are we doing this and why is that? Because when you ask the why, you're going to get the information you need to help guide that decision-making process.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you really are listening, if the why questions get answered with a bunch of bunk, you're going to know it, right? If you just say, yeah, sure, do the project, you're not going to know that person knows his or her stuff or doesn't know his or her stuff. But if you ask a few questions, why does this barrier have to go down first? And then if the answer sounds like a bunch of bunk, you don't really know what you're doing, do you?
Exactly. And before you take your car in, or you consent to major car work, you ask those questions. I recently took my, 10-year-old minivan with 100,000 miles in, and they're like, oh, it needs $1,500 worth of service. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Does any of this need to be done for inspection? And they said no. And I said, well, then I will pause. And I'm going to decide, how long am I keeping this car? How much do I want to invest in this car? You step back.
Had you not asked that question, you would be $1,500 less wealthy.
Yes. And I went online and I spent $40 on the air filters and they're sitting on my island for me to replace myself.
So,
I'm going to take care of those before those other big projects. But it's about educating people. Yeah. Can you tell us if there was one advocacy consumer story that really just hit home and you were like, I'm so grateful I was able to turn this around for a family?
Yes. And it was many, 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 many years ago. It was a mover. And the MO was people who needed items stored as part of the move. Well, he would store things, but then when they would go to pick up their stuff, we can't find your dresser. We can't find your flat screen TV. And then people would go back time and time again, sorry. And they just had it. And then right when they're just at their wit's end, they would say, I'm really, really sorry. I don't know what happened, but would you like this couch instead? I swear to God, this happened so many times. And I did one story and then another story. And then people came out of the woodwork. I probably had 40 consumers who had had things, I won't say stolen, but that never made it to their destination because they were somewhere in the storage facility. And finally, I got the gentleman who ran the company to come in, and at the station, we gathered all the consumers in a group, and he came in and addressed the group. And then
an intervention.
And then one by one, he sat down with them and wrote checks. It was pretty impressive.
Wow. Wow. And again, that's the power of community coming together and sharing their stories. I think sometimes when people do have problems like this, they're embarrassed and they're ashamed. So they don't share that they had an issue. And then other people don't know that they've also been scammed, and then you have that
right,
you know, that group of people that can work more as a team.
Which is why I always encourage people who have been scammed, whether it's somebody who we can actually go after or if the scammers, who knows where, right? But they've become a victim and they're embarrassed because they think that they made ill-informed decisions and they fell for it. But again, I always say they're very good at what they do. But the best you can do is tell your story. Then you're helping the next person not get scammed. I mean, I hear them over and over again. Romance scams, I know. You say, oh, I would never fall for that. Well, there's billions and billions and billions of dollars lost to romance scams, so somebody's falling for them. Employment, job scams, I would never fall for that. Well, somebody's falling for that because billions and billions and billions lost, right? So the more you can share your story and know that you telling your story will help the next person, it's just so important.
Yeah. Aside from taking the pause and doing that little bit of education, is there something you could suggest for more timid, more passive homeowners to do to be able to find their voice in that moment, especially for a woman who might feel intimidated by that person who's pressing her? Is there anything that you might be able to say, you know, dig deep and pull this out to be able to express no in that moment?
Right. I think, again, buy yourself time. Say, I'm super busy. I need to review this when I have a minute. Please let me get back to you. Can you give me a phone number and an email? Because that gives you the time to press pause in your brain, right? And all you have to do is just say, I'm super busy. I can't look at this right now, but let me look at it when I have time and I'll get back to you, because that gives you the moment. And then you can do your research like you're talking about. Do all the research online. Call your county consumer affairs office. Look up, put the company in the Google search and then put and scam and see if something pops back up.
Yeah, that's huge. I've done a class before on DIY do's and don'ts. And I've always said to women in particular, it's really important that if you are meeting with a contractor in your home, don't say, I'll talk to my husband, because that immediately gives away your power. So I say, my husband and I will discuss it and we will get back to you, because it's a way to just hold your power back in. And I think that's important.
I think that's so important. I mean, we've passed the point in time where husbands make all the decisions, but some people still operate as if. But we know that that's not true. Most relationships are relatively equal. And look, sometimes the woman makes certain decisions and the man makes certain decisions, and they might be completely opposite from what we think are the traditional roles.
Exactly. Any contractor at my house is going to talk
to
me, not my husband. You know, my husband will be asking, you know, what's the financial implication? And I'll be asking, what is the timeline, the project, the materials? So, you know, in that, we split the decision in how we handle things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's
really good advice.
That's important. What are some of your first memories of Tracy doing a DIY project?
Well, I'm not sure this it's not as elaborate as your DIY projects, but for many, many years in my family, we had to make our Christmas gifts. We had to pull a name and we had to make the Christmas gift. And it was my brother. And at the time, he had a wife and two young sons. And I wanted to make something that would be on the wall or lean against the wall that would have pictures on it. And so I walk very early in the morning, and I came across an old wooden screen door that was thrown out.
Oh, how fun. Trash picking. I love
was
it.
Trash picking. Oh, you have no idea. I trash pick quite a bit. And so I brought it home and I got the screen out and I scraped it down and I painted it black. And then I got hooks and I bought a bunch of really simple frames and I painted them all black. And then I got black and white pictures of the family and I...
What a treasure.
It was fun. It was really fun.
What a treasure. You know, I have to say, I love trash picking. My husband teases me. He's like, can you not trash pick from the neighbors in the daylight? Can you wait till dark to go pick from the neighbors? But I was jogging one day and somebody like in the neighborhood around the corner, they had a solid wood door, like a front door on the curb. And I went home, got my minivan, and I threw it in the back of my minivan.
As you do.
As I do. And it is now the barn sliding door in our master bath. And it's super cool and funky. And it has 5 glass panes at the top. So it lets the light in. And it's just fun. And it's, you know, my husband, I pulled this out of the garage. He's like, where has this been? I'm like, it's been hiding here in the garage. He's like, for how long? I'm like, 6 or 7 months. You know, I just tuck things away so he doesn't complain about the strays that I collect.
Because then they pop out and they become something beautiful.
Yes, you know, and it's a way to be creative. What's on your next DIY project wish list that you wish you could tackle at your own house?
Wow. I don't know. We're building sort of a cottage on a lake in central New York. And there are some things that I want to work on. I think in the basement I have some wrought iron gates that really, really need help. They need scraping and they need painting. And I'd like to sort of create maybe like a little wine tasting room that you can see into, but that would be those would be the doors. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, you have to take pictures. That would be so fun to kind of journey along.
Yeah.
You know, again, reusing old things. And we have such treasures here in Philadelphia. There's tons of salvage places where you can get really cool architectural items.
I love reusing things. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have a big great room above our garage, and I have two French doors. I forget where I picked them up. I don't have a minivan, but I'm sure I got them off the side of the road, and they're beautiful. And I just have them in between sort of the living area and the office area. And they're just standing and I have them, they have blocks on the bottom just to keep them upright. And they're just enough to sort of separate the space. And I love that.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be all high end, you know, it can be practical and fun and, you know, and that's what it about being creative and finding a way to make that space your own is important. Mm-hmm. So, well, I want to pause for a moment. As I know you are very philanthropic, mm-hmm. I would like to take a pause to hear from our nonprofit partner, Family Promise. On any given day, over 500 people in Montgomery County, PA, are experiencing homelessness. Nearly 60,000 people don't have enough nutritious food to eat, and 8,600 families have income below the federal poverty line. Family Promise Monco PA is doing something about that by partnering with the community to address homelessness and hunger, one family at a time. FP Monco is able to support families through an emergency shelter, transitional housing, and a food pantry. If you'd like to learn more on how to get involved, you can visit fpmonco.org. Well, Tracy, one of the things that I would love to talk to you about is not just empowering consumers, but your work in empowering women in particular to find their personal voice. And, you know, I know helping people find that voice is really a huge piece of who you are, but you help people find what it is they need to say, how to express it with grace and compassion and thoughtfulness, because that is who you are. And I'm witness to the power of these events that Tracy has been doing. And can you please tell our listeners about Lifting Your Voice?
Yes. So Lifting Your Voice, Jen Kronberger and I founded it, created it in 2018, and it is an event for women. Let me be incredibly clear that it is not a networking event. It is a personal development day. We do it twice a year. And we developed it because we felt like we were both speaking to a lot of women's groups. And what we were hearing back from women was that they were getting the to-do list done. You know, I mean, there's not a woman I meet on a daily basis who, when I look at their to-do list, I think, you are a rock star. But the world is so noisy, they weren't even hearing their own voice. And their priorities, you know, we always say self-care always gets pushed down to the bottom. I would say for many women, any of your priorities likely get pushed to the bottom. One, because that's just what we do. We think we should take care of other people first. But two, because we don't often take chance to listen to our own voice, to find our own voice. You know, what is important to me? What are my priorities? Because we're just being bombarded, you know, with things to do, everybody else's needs. And so the event is to sort of, again, press pause. What's my life about? Here's what I say my priorities are, but here's where I'm spending my time and energy. Are these things aligned? I am, you know, ruminating about something that happened years ago. I need to change that story. I need to, you know, push myself forward with this project, or I need to get to this goal. How do I even start? So it's all about goals. It's about resilience skills, and we go through them, and we have takeaways, how to grow your resilience. It can be assessed and it can be grown. It's about confidence. It's about connection. I mean, this was even before the pandemic, and we were hearing from women that they really longed to just actually sit and have a real conversation with another woman. Friend or not, and you saw it when you were at the event.
Oh, absolutely. Women just came together and hugged one another and shared intimate, personal things. I mean, deep things that they were willing to bring to the surface and share. And there's such that epidemic of loneliness. Mm. And to feel like you are in a room with 100 other women and you can share something and you feel that embrace, you are clapped for and cheered. Mm. It is so moving.
It's true, right? And almost always you'll hear from another woman who says, you know, different circumstances, but I feel the same way, or I felt the same way. We're all on this journey. You might be a little bit further ahead and you can pull me along, or I might be a little bit further ahead and I can pull you along. It's a day to really look at yourself. It's personal development, which may or may not be part of your career, but it's really personal development. Take time for you. What do you want? What are your priorities? You want to grow your confidence. You want to get a new job. You want to change how you're living. You want to, any transition you want to make, how do you get there? How do you adjust and get new habits?
Right. And also how to just cope with some of the transitions that are thrown at you from the empty nest to menopause and, you know, divorce, job changes, you know, and being able to have that day to step back and pause and say, what is my next move? What do I need in my life? And how can I really do some introspection? And I think it's so hard for us as women. We are so busy doing and doing that we don't take the moment to step back and say, am I really happy? Am I doing things that are fulfilling?
Right. And that's what this gives you a chance, because we have a lot of time where we just sit with that, think about it, journal about it, and let's talk about it so we can bring those feelings to the surface.
Yeah, one of the things that I loved about the event is the writing that you have us do. And I brought along one of the cards. So Tracy and Jen have us write a note to ourselves about something we are grateful for, and they mail it out to you months later. And mine showed up at a really pivotal day when I needed it, and it was wonderful. And the funny thing was, I had written my note, and I had started something, and I crossed it out, and then I changed it. And what I had written was that I was thankful for my husband who had kind of saved me from myself, and I crossed it out in the moment and said, no, I did the work myself. And my husband got a good laugh at it when it came to our house. But you use an interesting theme of a word. And then you break down the word by the letters. Mm. And last session was light. Mm. And what is the word for the next session? Can you share?
Yeah, the next session is October 13th. And all the information is on liftingyourvoice.com. The next word is peace. And we both felt like there's a lot of people who are really frustrated, a lot of people who are really angry. There's a lot of conflict right now, and that peace would be a very good word to start with.
That's a really needed word
yeah.
in this climate
yep.
today.
Yep.
Yeah. So with the word peace, is there something that is jumping out in particular for that word that you personally are trying to connect with?
I think, well, we have words that go with all the letters, and the A in peace is acceptance. And I think that we are all challenged these days accepting somebody else who may have a different opinion and accepting ourselves. And both of those things we're going to work on.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when is the October event?
October 13th, which is a Sunday. We started having these on Saturdays, and then all of the women said, there's too many activities, there's too many sports and birthday parties, and Saturdays are so hard. So we're Sunday, October 13th at the Overbrook Country Club, and our beneficiary, as it always has been from the very beginning, is the Domestic Violence Center of Chester County, because we want to expand the impact that we're having on women who are served by DVCCC.
And that's an absolutely wonderful, wonderful cause. How can women sign up? Where can we find it?
Liftingyourvoice.com. All the information is there. And we're also now offering, because we are asked to, we're offering a high school version for high school girls. So check that out when you're there as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. It's really a wonderful event to go with your girlfriend, your sister, and even your daughter, you know, to empower them to start looking at the self-improvement
yes.
category.
Yes,
you know.
Who you are, celebrate it, and move
yeah.
forward.
So my last question, mm-hmm. if you were a tool, what would you be and why?
I would be a hammer because it gets a lot of things done.
Awesome. And I, too, would be a hammer.
Oh, perfect. See?
So
we're
yeah.
friends.
Yep. It's a tool about impact and connection, and that's why I love it.
I like
so,
that.
You know.
So true.
So, well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank
I'm
you.
So grateful to have your insight. And as always, when you come to The Empowered Homeowner, we're here to empower you, mm-hmm. not just with tools and contracts, but with the mental mindset that you are capable of doing whatever you need to and want to in your own home. You dig in, you do the research, you have two hands, and I know you have the power to do that. So remember that doing it yourself never means doing it alone. So thank you for
That's
being
great.
Here.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you for all you do.